Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
God. Everybody's got a song. Let's go. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a song. Everybody's got a song. Everyone's a little different. Everyone's a little different. We've all done wrong, we've all done. Let's dance like this. Then the Savior came, and he took the blame, changed everything. Hey, I want to see you, just step forward. And the Savior came, and he took the blame, changed everything. We're going to sing the chorus. Say, I could sing about his forgiveness. I could praise him till the sun goes down. Say, I am a witness. I was there when his love came down. Love came down on me. I was there when his love came down. Say, love came down on me. Everybody's going to sing. Everybody's got a song. I want to hear you sing. Everybody's got a song. Everyone's a little different. We've all done wrong. Then the Savior came. Hey, and he took the blame, changed everything. Then the Savior came. Then the Savior came. And he took the blame, changed everything. I could sing about his forgiveness. Come on, say, oh, I could sing about his forgiveness. You're not jumping, no. Sun goes down. I can say that I am a witness. I was there when love. Say, love came down. Love came down on me. Oh, I was there when his love came down. Say, I could sing up. Sing about his forgiveness. I could praise him till the sun goes down. I could say, I am the witness. I was there when his love came. Say, his love came down. Love came down on me. Now sing his love. Now listen. His love came down like a rain. Starting from the top. At least now we've gotten the song. Those who are standing, we don't like that. You have all not eaten, so don't frown. We are starting from the top.
on. You come with us together. Everybody's got a story. Come on. Everybody's got a song. Everyone's a little. We've all done wrong. Then the Savior came and he took the pain, changed everything. Then the Savior came, and he took the pain, changed everything. Now I wanna jump and sing. I could sing about, say, I could sing about his forgiveness. I could praise him till the sun goes down. I can say that I am a witness. I was there when it started. You got this. Last year. Let me see you go down. I was there, I was there. Everybody's got a song. Everyone's a little different. We've all done wrong. Then the Savior. Then the Savior came. And it's your birthday. Change everything. Most people are not jumping out. I'm going to call you. Music, let's go! Sun goes down, hey, I can say, I was there, I can sing, I can praise him, I can say, those, why you always for that? When his life came down, I was there when his life, his love came down like rain from heaven. Say his love came down like rain. Kiss love came down. Hey, you're not singing. Kiss love came down like rain from heaven. Say, kiss love came down like rain from heaven. Kiss love.
How many of you think it's good to come here again and again and again and again? Clap your hands for Jesus. So, please be seated. So, we are dealing with our faith. And I'm saying that for you to be a Christian, you must be a believer. Amen. Acts chapter 5, the people who are added to the church are not members. No. What are they?
Believers.
Believers. It is believers we must add to the church. So if you are a leader, you are a pastor, you have to ask yourself a simple question. What do my members believe in? Wow. These guys have put on the bus. This is the bus. There are 12 people on the bus. What do they believe in? Am I adding town boys in the to the church? Am I adding area boys to the church? What do they believe in? What do they believe in? And that is what destroys the church. Because the Christian life is not a club. It's not some society. It's a life you live by faith. In fact, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Turn your Bible to it. Now, the just, now, it starts with now. Sorry, Hebrews 10, 38. When I mention the verse, you open to it in your Bible. You must learn the habit of reading your Bible. Anyway, we are coming to your faith in God's word. That will be this evening. God willing. Now, the just, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. In fact, we must have a time for scripture memorization. Yes. And we are going to use King James. The just shall live by believing things. This life we are living as Christians, we live it by believing things. So if you don't believe things, if you don't have things you believe, you can't be a Christian. You can't. And the first is that we must believe in God. Number one, five pillars. The first pillar is faith in God. And what does it do? It makes you obey. Because, you see, the Bible says faith without works is dead. So there should be works to show for everything you believe. And when you believe in God, what shows that you believe in God? Turn to it. James. Chapter 2. Verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. James is in the New Testament. James. Have you found James? How many of you have found James? Good. Look for it. James chapter 2, verse 26. Now, it says, for us the body without the spirit is dead. We'll come to it. So faith. So what? Faith. Without works is dead also. So if what makes you saved is dead, then you are not saved. That is why everything you believe in, there must be things you are doing to show that you believe in those things. I'll repeat myself. When you believe in something, it's not just something you believe it in your heart and it's a part of your life and nothing shows. There must be works activities for everything you say you believe. Like very early in my Christian life, I believed in holiness. So one of the things I did was to marry early. If you believe in something, there should be a corresponding action. So we start. If you believe in God, you say you believe in God, what are the works that follow believing in God? Number one is obedience. Number two is fighting. Abraham believed God and obeyed. Number two, fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. So, did you pray about the things you are going to fight to get out of your life? Emmanuel, what are some of the things you prayed to fight to remove from your life? Secular dancing. Oh, we need dancing in the church. And remove the secular dancing. So are you a dancing star already? Oh, okay. Which service do you join? Do you attend? His presence, okay? So you are the pastor. Fight. Fight to clear the unbeliever songs, the boys, the men. Look, tomorrow we'll talk about sacrifice. Be ready to be poor and walk with God than to have men giving you money and things and you don't have God. Because the two can't be together. So you fight to obey. Number two is that you fight to, obedience is faith. And number two is fighting is faith. Number three, I want to add a third one before we go on. Fearing God is faith. One of the things you must do, you must understand we need to see in your life is to fear God. You can walk about. In fact, Jesus told a story of a man, and what was used to describe the man? Luke 18 verse 2. Luke 18 verse 2. Says there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. That one doesn't surprise me. When a person doesn't fear God, it's not man he will fear. So one of the things the devil puts into your life is to remove the fear of God from you. So I'm saying, just as this man, Luke 18 verse 2, is described as somebody who didn't fear God, it can also be used to describe you. So make sure that your fear of God is intact. It's a component of your faith in God. Fear God. Fear God. You cannot walk about as a Christian, as a pastor, as a believer. A believer fears God. And when you fear God, there are things you do. Acts chapter 10. Verse 34, it says that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, verse 35, he that fears God. Acts 10, 35. You can't sit here without the fear of God. And as you walk about in the church, you will meet Christians who don't fear God. You see, if you fear God, you'll be afraid to do some things. To sit in your house with your friend and be discussing your pastor, talking negatively You'll be afraid. You see, fear will not let you. And I mean fear, not respect. If I tell you that there's a snake in this area, inside this whatever. I mean, you wouldn't want to be coming near here. One of the things social media is doing to us today in this generation is to remove the fear of God. People don't fear God. But not you. Not you. Have you seen the Acts 10? Acts chapter 10. Oh, you are there already. Your name again? Vera, beautiful. Read verse 35.
Acts chapter 10, verse 35. But in every nation, he that feared him and worked righteousness is accepted with him. Amen.
Fear. So there are people. There are people who fear God. So when we come around here, we don't just look for handsome boys and boys with good shirts and girls with good shoes. We ask, who here fears God? You don't fear God. You have no business working with him. You have no business working with him. I mean, everybody must have a healthy fear. As you are in the church, the fear of God, you get up, Bishop Kobe is raising funds, you get up and take an envelope to give 1,000. And when you go and sit down, you throw the envelope somewhere and you forgot. You don't fear God. No. I mean, you should say that, you know, I like this jeans jacket, but because I fear God, I won't take it. I mean, the fear of God must guide you away from things. And I'm talking about salvation. You can't be saved and you don't fear God. Anybody who doesn't pay tithes doesn't fear God. I mean, you have thrown away the fear of God. You have taken it and you have just held it out. Look at me. There will be things you will stop doing. Not because you don't like them, but because of your fear of God. There are some movies. There are some websites. There are some people. There are some activities. There are some things you won't do, not because you don't like them, but only because of your fear of God. If you read the Bible, there's a story in the Bible about Joseph, who found himself with somebody's wife who liked him enough to want to have sex with him in the Bible. And Joseph said, I can't do this, not because I don't have feelings, but I fear God. To sit in a married man's car, for him to take his hand to remove your panties and in the car, you this girl, you don't fear God. You don't fear God. You are sitting down to the computer in front of you. Your phone is in front of you. Your laptop is, and you are watching pornography. And you are watching, you've watched it for 2 hours. You don't fear God. You've thrown the fear of God away. And you are left with what? Nothing. Mark it. As we live here, from now till you die, you will meet situations that only God's fear will guide you. Only God's fear. Not because somebody will find out. Because if you are very, very good, you can commit certain sins without anybody knowing. Till you die, nobody knows. People have died in the cemetery and they've done things. No, it's not everything that people get to know. No. If you play your cards very well, nobody will know. You are in the church, there's a married man in your life, but nobody knows. Nobody knows. There are wives who introduce their boyfriends to their husbands as relatives. Some come to stay there weekend in the house. So there are some things we don't do, not because people will see it. There are people who are ready to keep secrets. That one I can tell you. I can tell you, cry, that it's not everything that is found out. So a Christian doesn't do things not because it will be found out. There's a higher law. Higher law. That's why for me, tithe is one of the most basic ways that you yourself will use to know whether you fear God. I mean, she gave me 100 Ghana cedis this morning. Do you know whether I have paid tithe? You don't know. Not everybody pays tithes in the church by putting money in an envelope called tithes. No. I mean, the Momo number I used to pay tithes, you wouldn't even know that it exists. But it's in a system. You won't go to the church Momo account and find that I pay some money as tithe in the Momo account. I'm not needing anybody's record keeping. No. I mean, you think of it. Your aunt in Tema sent you 200 CDs. Who knows about it? Who cares whether you have paid tithes or you've not paid tithes? You can chop the 200 CDs and you can live for 200 years. Nobody will know. So we don't use people knowing things or people finding out as our guidance. No. If you are doing something and you think that because nobody knows, you can continue doing them as a Christian, then you don't understand what God is doing. What must guide you is the fear of God. Hey, I bought this 200 Ghana, Charlie. Let me pay the tithes. It's between God and I. That's all. And it goes on. That's why you'll be a bacenta leader. Somebody just brings money. So I just felt we should buy chairs and buy some lights for it. It's just get 1,005 and let's order. Let's have some chairs. Use 700 to buy the things. You chop 800. It exists in the church. They are treasurers who steal money. One pastor had a camera. He installed a camera, a secret camera in the treasury. He was surprised. He was reviewing it on Sunday night or Monday morning. He was reviewing the video. He saw that ladies were putting money in their panties. It has happened physically. Christians. If you don't fear God, you are an unbeliever. No. You make promises, you don't care whether you fulfill them, you don't fulfill them, you don't have any regard for anybody, you don't have any regard for a pastor, you don't have any regard, you don't honor anybody, you are just there, you do what you want to do, you come when you want to come, you stay away when you want to stay away. No. In every nation, he that feareth, there is something. God, we don't only worship God. We've just done worship. We don't only praise God. There's something also called the fear of God. Where's your fear? If you fear God, these boys will not be in your life. I'm talking to a boy, not a girl. They come and sit with you and have lewd chats, profane chats. No. A pastor sent me some this type of videos, comical, comedy, whatever. But the subject. I said, no. I just... There are things we watch and we laugh, but not certain subjects. It's inappropriate. So that is it. You must obey God. Faith in God makes you obey God. Faith in God makes you fight. And I want to ask the pastor sitting here, help your members to fight the wolves that are coming for them. These songs on Vera's phone are wolves. They will eat you up. Before you know it, you are in the church, but you don't have any spirit in you. No faith in you. And a leader, a proper shepherd, doesn't turn away from the wolves. Number four, if you have faith in God, you will pray to God. You do what? Pray. Anybody who doesn't pray doesn't believe in God. Actually, you will learn that prayer is an act of faith. I mean, what do you do when you pray? You talk to God. Prayer is talking to God. And you must believe in God. You must believe in His contribution and the difference He makes and His power to talk to Him. Anybody you know who doesn't pray, including you, anybody you know who doesn't pray does not have faith in God. Anybody you know who has a problem and talks to a man first before talking to God doesn't believe in God. You see, one day I was not well. We were at a camp somewhere. And I went to Bishop Prophet. And I want to ask him if he had coartem and para. And his first question was, so you don't believe that I can pray for you to get well? He said, I have no problem. As a doctor, I can give you medicine. I will give you. But I wish that you would ask me to pray for you. I have never forgotten it. Coconut Grove. About 2015 or 2016. So, that's a pillar. So, your prayer life is a reflection of your faith in God. And faith in God is a pillar of your salvation. There are different types of prayer we have now. We have flow prayer meeting. We wake up at 4 a.m. and we pray. Faith will make you fight sleep. We have our own church in your house on Saturday where we wake up, we pray. You yourself as a Christian must have your personal prayer, daily prayer routines. You alone pray. But you can live. As I said, the pillars are five. The pillars are five. So you can easily walk about without faith in God, but you are in the system with some type of faith. You can walk about as a Basenta leader who doesn't pray. You can't point to the last time you prayed for 1 hour on your own. Not 1 hour at an all-night, at a prayer meeting or flow prayer, on your own, to be able to say, I am going to this room, I am going to the gardens. Like you've left Accra, you've come here on your own with a bottle of water. It shows that your faith in God is intact. And there's nothing like salvation without faith. I saw key facts around here. Yeah. In chapter 9 of this book, it talks about grow in your new life by praying regularly, daily. Daily. 6 principles of prayer. You don't need to write it. The book. How many of you have got phones? Smartphones like Emanuela. Can you stand up if you've got a smartphone? That a phone that does WhatsApp and yeah. Please stand up, please quickly. I just want to see. That's all. So maybe I should ask rather those who don't have, please sit, and those who don't have, please stand. You don't have a smartphone. Maybe your phone is a Yam phone. You can't go online with it. Yeah. You must fight. You must fight. You must fight to have a phone. Yeah. A phone that can take books. All these books. 100 books. You can have it all on your... I'm not talking about, or if you are standing and you have a tablet like iPad or Samsung tablet, you can sit down. Yeah. So I'm saying you need something, a gadget that can have a book or books and Bibles. You see, and I'm saying that it's a fight you must fight. Your faith in God must make you fight to have something that will give you Bibles and books. There are fights to fight. There are fights to fight. Please be seated. So there are 6 principles of prayer. So see, I'm dealing with prayer as one of the aspects of your faith in God. If you don't pray, you don't have faith in God. The first principle is that it is important to spend some time with God in prayer every day. Say every day.
Every day.
Every day. You want to be a Basenta leader? See, I don't want to talk about ministry. As a Christian, how do you live your life? You mean you know how to live your life? You know what to do, you see. You know what to do. You wake up, you just bath, dress up, and you move. You're in charge of your life, you see. You are powerful. Wow. You know what to do. No. You are going to crash. We pray to involve God in our life. You may not be able to pray for 1 hour now. At least some 30 minutes of discipline, sitting down and praying. And you must learn how to pray in English or in Chi. A pastor You are a shepherd. You can't just be praying in tongues. It will not help you. I'm coming to tongues. It's very important to pray in tongues. But you cannot. You can't. You can't. Don't start it. Don't start a prayer life that is there. All your prayer life is Aria Baba. First Corinthians. Verse 15. First Corinthians, underline this verse. So this session is about prayer. Your name again? I know Vera now. I know Emanuela, the phone. I know Princess. Yes, and you are? Rosemond. Beautiful. Which verse are we? 1 Corinthians 14. Verse what? 15. Yeah. Have you opened to it? Please take it off the screen. Read your own. One, go. Okay, start. Say 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Yes. Yeah. So prayer cannot be only Aria Baba Laka Bada Bada Baba. You must learn to pray in English or Chi or Ga or Ewe. With your understanding, you are saying things with your understanding. Because there is a place. You speak with your understanding. You understand that this girl going is going to fall. You pray about her going to fall in English. You pray for your members in English. Lord, I pray for Abigail about the decision she's taking to travel to England. Father, intervene. Pray in English. And as you have prayed in English, an inspiration will come and you will switch to tongues. But there must be prayer with your understanding. Because those who can't pray with their understanding, a lot of what they are calling tongues is just a mind roaming about. A mind that is roaming. That's all. They can steal while praying in tongues. They can watch pornography and be praying in tongues. Yes. And three naked bodies are in a room. So take time of what's the name again? Eric. Is it Eric? Eric, yeah? Do you pray every day? You say yes, not so. That's it. That's a person I want to have, a sincere person. But try. Your faith in a person makes you talk to the person. When you don't talk to a person, it means you, for me, I interpret anybody who doesn't relate with me as the person ought to, as an indication of how important or not I am to the person. You are saved. You are born again. And you don't pray every day. No. Lift your right hand and say, I will pray every day. Say, I will make the time. I will intentionally lift your right hand and say, I will intentionally pray every day. So help me, God. Number two, prayer builds up your faith. So prayer is an indication that you have faith in God. And it also builds your faith up. When your faith is going down, you see that your faith, you are beginning to backslide. Jack it up with prayer. Just leave your house and start walking on the streets. Some part of your area where cars don't pass often. Where you used to take the girl before. Uh-huh. And go to that place and pray there. Jude is in the New Testament. It's towards the end, before Revelation. Jude, verse 19. Charlie, we are going to pray for some 5 minutes that God should send someone to bless us with phones and iPads. Yeah. Not phones you are going to use to watch pornography. Not phones you are going to use to be sending pictures of our penises and vaginas to people. No. Phones we are going to use to have books and Bibles and be on pages where Bacenta leaders are on, and we are working, we are on a page. You and your woman, a girl texts you pictures of her breast. You are doing what with it? All those things are passed away. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, those things are gone. Tell the person, I used to do some of these things. But I'm a brand new person. Say, I am a brand new believer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jude, verse 19. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we are going to come there. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Because it's also a type of prayer. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says he does both. So your faith is built up when you pray in the spirit. Number three. Every Christian should pray for at least 30 minutes every day. Write it down. I said you shouldn't write it, but I realized that. How many of you have the book, the Key Facts book? Sorry, this book. Okay. All right, you sit down. We'll see what to do. So number three is that every Christian should be able to pray for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Otherwise, you have just come to visit us. You are going to go back. You are a visitor. How many of you are visitors to the kingdom of God? How many of you have come to stay here? Really? Really? Princess, you've come to stay? Then you got to pray. You have to pray. at least 30 minutes of sitting down in a room, if there's no room in your house, behind your house, under a tree, somewhere, you take your Bible, you are walking about, 30 minutes, time, 1 hour, pray every day. That shows that you have faith in God. Sometimes when we see you, we will ask you, have you prayed? But it's not everything you will do that you must fill a form. Yeah. Faith in God makes you pray. Faith in God makes you pray regularly. Faith in God makes you pray to build up your faith. Faith in God makes you pray with your understanding. You must believe that if you don't pray, your life will not receive the help it needs. And some of you feel that you don't need God, but very soon, God will let your head, your forehead hit a wall. You will be in every prayer meeting. Oh, 3 days ago or 4 days, I've forgotten where I was. But it's not more than 4 days ago. The Lord told me to tell any young person I meet. If I saw myself preaching to young people like I'm doing now. Like it wasn't here. And he said, anytime you meet young people who are interested in serving God, tell them that there is no future. Tomorrow, the future is today. What you are doing now is a ministry. Just 3 days ago. You want to be a pastor some time to come, some years to come? This is what you do now will determine what you become in the future. There should be nothing I'm talking about that you say, oh, I'm waiting when I grow, then I start praying for 30 minutes. You will not. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Depart. So young men, how many of you want to be pastors? The guys. You want to be a pastor one day? The guys. Okay, put your hand up. How many of you don't want to be a pastor, but you want to just be a little shepherd? A little. Can I see your hand? Yeah. One. Yeah. You don't want to be a pastor. Lift your hand high. One, two, three, four. Good. God will work on you. How many of you want to become pastors one day? You want to serve God, be a pastor one day? Lift your hand high. One, two, three. Yes. And I'm saying to you that there's nothing like you are waiting to start something in 10 years' time. Start praying for 30 minutes every day now. Start now. Start now. How many of you can pray for 30 minutes on your own? We went to pray. Some of you were chatting. Or is it not true? How many of you couldn't pray well? You were chatting. Let me see your hand. Yes. Who else was chatting? Number four. Prayer helps you to overcome temptations. How many of you have temptations? Oh, can I see your hand? You have temptations. Okay. When you pray, you involve God's power that helps you to overcome the temptation. Mm-hmm. When you pray. And there are many things that are tempting you that your physical strength cannot fight. That's why your faith cannot be in only God. No, 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 no. There's nothing like that. Your faith must be in different things that are related to God. And as you grow, your temptations change. Sometimes today it's Alex. Tomorrow it will be Kwame.
My goodness.
You overcome Benis only to confront Anita. You are fighting all the time. Say temptations. Say, I am overcoming temptations. Yeah. How many of you believe that you can overcome temptations? Yeah. The lady in yellow, what's your name? Angela. Do you also have temptations? Really? Like what? Temptations like what? A boy? Or boys? Just one. This is just one. He likes you. Eh? He likes you. But you also like him. Is it Angela? Angela? You also like him? Angie, do you also like him? Or you don't like him? You like him. Angela, there is nothing wrong with liking a boy. Here we are free. We say the things as they are. There's nothing wrong. What is wrong is that you begin to sin with him. He sleeps with you. And gives you 10 Ghana cedis. Don't allow anyone to play with your body. Do you get me? Don't. Are you serious about your salvation? Are you really born again? You want to be saved properly? Then it's very important you listen to me. You must pray. Do you pray about it?
Yeah.
Do you pray in tongues? You only pray with your understanding. That's good. That's good. We are going to add tongues to it. Do you see? Yeah. And it will help you. But I want to assure you, Angie, you will overcome. You'll overcome. We are not handing over any piece of our lives to the devil. We are not handing over any space in our phone to the devil. No. No. Sir Cordia must go to the people who like him. Not here. Vera, you get me? Yeah. Have you removed him? Number 5, you can pray. Oh, sorry. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray. Oh, I can smell pastors around. Evangelists around. The church is going to have some of the best shepherds coming from this particular camp we are having. Yeah. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. And it's because of your weak flesh. Do you know what your weak flesh likes? Do you know what your weak flesh like? Your weak flesh likes unbeliever music. likes to attend parties, pool parties. But when you pray, even the desire to go to the pool party, Manuela, are you listening to me? The desire to go to the pool party will not even come. Fight it. Watch and pray. Watch and pray means that watch your life and see the things you must pray about. It means that don't just pray blindly. You must pray about specific things. I'm praying about Alex. I'm praying about my addiction to pornography. I'm praying about my education. Watch carefully. You see that there are weaknesses. Pray about them. Otherwise, you will enter into temptation. You will walk into a trap. Number five, you can pray about everything. Yes. Mark 11:24. Are you there? Mark 11:24. What does it say? Therefore, I say unto you, one, go. I can't hear you well. One, start again. Okay, Mark 11:24. One, go. Yeah. Different versions. I understand why there's. But whatever you desire, whatsoever. That is why there's also faith in God's word. Because God's word will guide your prayer. Otherwise, you are going to pray that somebody's wife should die so that you marry the man. Because it's whatever, whatsoever. A basenta leader should be sick so that his members can come to your basenta. Whatsoever. I want to tell you, listen to me. As a Christian, as a shepherd, there should be nothing that is off the table in your life that you can't talk to God about. Anything. Your hair, your shoes, your shirt, your trousers, your food. Talk to God about it. Your mother is not well. Talk to God about it. Whatsoever. God is not only interested in the Bible you use. He's not only interested in your ministry. Even your hair, when it falls down, he knows that one hair has come off. That's how God cares about you. So when you go to the salon and you are coming back, know that heaven has recorded how many hairs you left in the salon. Yes. God knows. Say, I will pray about anything. Any problem. Yes. That's the shepherd God wants. Who talks to him? You see, why? Why? Why should you pray about anything and everything? Because God wants you to talk to him every day. And if you can only pray about certain things, it means that there are some days you won't need God. If God is only interested in your ministry life, it means you will talk to him only on Saturday night for Barson on Sunday. But if you are actually talking to God about everything, it means, Lord, as I'm going to Accra, I'm entering my car, take me safely to Accra. He's interested in the spark plugs in your car. He's interested in the amount of fish you are using to eat the kinky. He's interested. He's interested. Yeah, he's disturbed that you are eating a bowl of kinky with just some two small pieces of fish. He is pray about it. A lot of onions. No fish. You want to have onions in your food and you can't afford onions? Tell God that, Father, I need onions. No, that's the only way you can always be talking to him. Because you must. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without season. That's the King James. Good News Translation says, pray at all times. The Living Bible says, always keep on praying. The Passion Translation says, make your life a prayer. New International Reader's Version says, never stop praying. New English Translation says, constantly pray. NIV, New International Version says, pray continually. New American Standard Bible says, pray without ceasing. God's Word Translation says, never stop praying. Pray at all times. Good News Translation. Are you doing ministry at all times? No. If you are entering a class for a core maths class, pray about it. Lord, as I enter this class, help me to understand what I'm going to be taught. As I write this exam, I mean, be talking to God all the time. If you don't do that, you will lose your communication with God. Your faith in God will be off. And the first pillar of your faith is faith in God. It makes you pray. Number six. You can accompany your prayer with fasting sometimes. How many of you fast? Few of you fast. We are going to start fasting regularly. What is fasting? Fasting is intentionally staying away from food. You can fast off many things, but the main thing we are talking about is food. From morning till evening, from morning till 5, from morning till 3 p.m. No food. You are praying. Yeah, not as a group. You yourself, and you see, you stay away from food not because there is no food. You should be able to have food in your room. But you are praying. You see, if you can look at food and not eat it and pray, you can look at a girl and not touch her and serve God. You can look at a boy. You can look at a phone and not use it. You can have 100 Ghana cedis airtime data, and you are not watching pornography. It starts from your ability to see that this is rice and stew, but I'm still praying. I'm not touching it. I want you to stand to your feet and lift your hands. We are coming to the next pillar. Lift your two hands. Everybody look at the screen. Try and see the screen. Number one, six principles of prayer. Number one, spend some amount of time in your life to pray every day. Number two, prayer builds up your faith. Number three, every Christian must pray for at least 30 minutes a day. Number four, prayer helps you to overcome temptations. Number five, you can pray about everything. Number six, you can accompany your prayer with fastings sometimes. Lift your hands and pray about your prayer life just for a few, 1 minute or two, that you will love to pray. You will love to pray. You will love to pray. Pray. Jesus, Makatabo Satalabade, Lambra Masinda Namaya Mama, Lenzi Man Deman Laba Baba Ba, Lambra Zimayan Dalabazi Bidibosa. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, we commit our lives, our prayer lives. Lord, we do many things. We are students, we are working, we have friends, we wash, we cook, we go to town. Lord, help us to build our prayer life, to dedicate time in our life to talk to you. Lord, increase my faith in you through prayer. 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 Lift your hands and pray now. Prayer, prayer, prayer. I'll be a woman of prayer. A man of prayer with fastings. With fastings. With fastings. With fastings. Father, we thank you that we are entering a new life, a new area, a new level. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for your great blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Are you enjoying the time we are spending here?
Yes.
Yeah. Forget about food. Yeah. Have you had breakfast? You've not had breakfast? That's very good. Oh, you've not had breakfast? Oh, then we are together. I thought you had had breakfast and I didn't have breakfast. And so the plan was to come for a short, like once, 1 hour or two. What time was... What? Oh, you... Some of you have eaten before coming. Vera. Garin and Katia. How many of you have not eaten? Oh, Charlie. I suddenly feel that I'm in the right company. Yeah. I thought you had eaten. Oh, that's good. That's good. Then we are on it. We are what? On it. We are what?
Honest.
I thought you had eaten breakfast. So I'm going to say forget about lunch. But if you've not had breakfast, then I'm in the right environment to minister to the right people and the right company and the right spirit. The second pillar is... Pillar of faith is faith in what? In who? Jesus Christ. John 14 verse 1. Faith in Jesus. Have you found John 14 verse 1? Oh, I can't hear you. Have you found John 14 verse 1? Emanuela, read it. John 14, verse 1. Start again.
John 14, verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me.
Well, that's... Which version is this? Which translation is this? Manuela, is this your Bible? Whose Bible is this? Somebody. Who is that person? Who is that? So where is your Bible? You don't have one. Which version is this? Holy Bible. NIV. Where is Princess? Read John 14, verse 1. When we say read, you stand up and you read.
Let not you.
Start John 14, verse 1.
John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believed in God. Believed also in me.
Is it believed or believe?
Believed.
Believed? Look at it well.
Believe.
Let not your heart be troubled. Look at my face. I'm saying that as a Christian, better make sure that your faith is intact in all the things, at all the levels, not just God. If your faith is in only God, you will bring a curse on your life. Yes. One day you will insult your pastor and think that you are serving God. And Jesus told them in John 14, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Because it's not enough to believe only in God. If your faith is only in God, you are setting up yourself for trouble. Jesus, is it red? Are the letters red? Is it the Bible, first of all? Or is it a magazine? Emmanuel, did you read the magazine? Is it a Bible you read? Yes. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, I know. But believe also in who? Salvation. There is no salvation without believing in Jesus Christ. And in Key Facts, chapter 2, no, chapter 1, how to become a born-again Christian. You must first believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You see, that's why I introduce God to you. God the Father. You must obey Him. You must fight to have Him. You must fear Him. And you must pray to Him. Now, pray to God. It's not enough to pray to God. You must pray to God in the name of Jesus. Which means that you must know Jesus Christ. You must know Jesus. That's why he himself said, you are joking. You believe in God. Anybody you meet who says he believes in God but doesn't believe in Jesus is deceiving himself. So how do we believe in Jesus? How do we believe in Jesus? Now, chapter 1 of our book, Key Facts, says, number 1 is that you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of the Father. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So number one, say after me, Jesus Christ is God's son. And according to John 3:16, let's start again. Say, according to 1 John 5:1, Jesus Christ is God's son. And according to John 3:16, God sent his son to die for my sins. This is what I believe. Say, this is what I believe. Say, I believe in Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. That's my faith. Once again, you can live your life believing in other things without believing in Jesus. That's why we eat communion. That's why we eat communion. To remind ourselves that somebody called Jesus died. That's his body. It was broken. That's the blood. It was shed. Anytime you eat communion, your mind comes to Jesus. You can easily live your life without Jesus on your mind. So to be born again, God established our salvation as a life that has Jesus Christ as the platform, as the foundation. And so to be born again, secondly, so first of all, you believe that he's the Son of God, and then you must ask him to come into your heart and your life. You must say a prayer like this and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner, lost and condemned to hell. I repent of my sins and ask for your forgiveness. I believe with all my heart that you died on the cross and rose up again for my sins. I open up my heart to you and receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Please take control of my life and make me what you want me to be. From today, I am yours and you are mine. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful gift of salvation. Amen. Do you have the book on your computer? Please copy that prayer for him to project on the screen for me. Can you link it to your WhatsApp? So, that is it. I want to give you some 8 important key facts about your salvation. Number one, this is Jesus. The Bible says that we are human beings, that we human beings are sinners. Say, I am a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Open your Bible. We are doing this one, and then we'll go and have breakfast.
Beautiful.
Breakfast at what time?
Breakfast at
2:05. Yes. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned. Say, all have sinned. Let's all read from your Bible. Romans 3, 23. One go. Say again. Very good. Number two, the Bible teaches us that the good things we do are seen as filthy rags that cannot please God. So your good things are filthy before God. That's why you can't walk about having faith in your niceness. Like, I've not fornicated before, so I'm righteous. Our righteousness comes from God's gift, God's grace. That's how come the one who has not fornicated before and the one who fornicates often, both of them can receive salvation. Very important. Number three, we can never be holy enough because we were conceived in sin. Now, look up and let me tell you. That's why you cannot say that, oh, you stopped sinning last week, so you won't make any effort now because you are now okay. No. Sin is a part of your life. Sin is a part of your life. It's there. That is why you must be constantly fighting. Constantly fighting. You see that today, there's no feeling to fornicate. There's no feeling. Your desire for Eva is not there anymore. But tomorrow afternoon, see, that thing has come again. Yeah. See, I will fight constantly. David said, for in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, I was shaping Psalm 51. Turn your Bible to Psalm 51. We are going to have some memory verses. Bishop Kobe will take us through some memory verses. Bishop Kobe, please find some 5 memory verses from the things we have done today. Yeah. Aha. You hold on with this one. Take it off. We'll come back. We can never be holy enough. Psalm 51 verse 5. Behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So you were made with a substance called sin. That's what I was shaping iniquity. The substance that was used to create you is a sinful substance. You will, look up, you will constantly be struggling with sin. When you are young, you struggle. When you are not married, you struggle. When you marry, you struggle. After you have married, during your marriage, you see, the clay, the dust that was used is a sinful dust. Unfortunately, what makes it worse is that is what Satan likes to eat. Remember in the Garden of Eden, he was cursed. One of the curses on the snake was that it will eat dust. He said, dust shalt thou eat. And you were made with dust. So when he sees you, he has seen his trophy. So he really likes you. He really likes you. He really wants to see that you are constantly there doing things he like. He can feed off you. That's why a Christian, you must fight to make yourself not edible by the devil. That's why this body must be used to pray. This body must be used to fast. This body must be used to win souls. This body must be used to read the Bible. When you use the body to fast, you make your body inaccessible to the devil. But when you are only sleeping, only eating and sleeping, only polishing your face, only dressing to push your breast up and out, you make yourself attractive to evil spirits. Remember, they like you. Don't make yourself likable. That is why, apart from what your mother, the Psalm 51 says, in sin did my mother conceive me, I was shaping iniquity. That's why we go beyond what our mother did and get born again. And I'm coming there to the third pillar. So tell your neighbors that, Charlie, Satan is coming for you. No, he's coming. Now, when he comes, what will he do? He'll make you pray. Mommy, when Satan comes, he'll let you read your Bible, not so. So when he comes and you already are into DJ Marvis, you are now prepared. It's like a woman who has prepared herself for fornication. Tell another person, he's coming. He's coming. John 14. Remember verse 1. Jesus Christ said, what? John 14 verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Look at verse 30. 14 verse 30. John 14 verse 30. Everyone is reading verse 30. I'm counting 5. John 14, verse 30. John is not in the Old Testament. I'm counting 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go. Say, he's coming. Say, he's coming. Tell your friend, he's coming. Say, John 14:30. Say, 14:30. Do you know 14:30? Say, he's coming. Oh, he's behind you. He's beside you. He's coming. Oh, but when he comes, he must not find anything that belongs to him in you. Jesus Christ said, blessed is the man whom when he comes will find him so doing. Christ himself when he comes. You see, everybody when he comes, he wants to find the things he likes being done by you. When Satan comes, what will let him like you is that he comes and he finds, oh, you've got even the songs for the nightclub already on your phone. The songs for sex are already on your phone. the videos, pornography are already there, then this is my place. I'll settle here. So Vera, remove that nonsense. Who is Vera's pastor? Help you matter. Where is she? She's in town. You are hot. You are hot. She has no clue what is happening here. So when she sees you, she doesn't even know what work she must do on you. I pity you. I pity you. I feel so sorry for you. That's why you must pray to fall into the hands of the right pastor. You must pray that you have a pastor who cares for you, who knows what he must do, who is strong, who will make you do what is right. True. So faith in Jesus. Point number. Point number what? Let's start. Number one is what? Yes. Faith in Jesus. Sorry? As a son of God. Number two is what? By prayer. Yes. The next one is what? What are the eight important facts you must know? You didn't write those ones down. Yes. The Bible says that we human beings are sinners. Number two, the Bible teaches that the good things we do are seen as filthy rags. Number three, we can never be holy enough. Number four, the Bible tells us that none of us can receive salvation by doing anything in particular. Epimata is coming. She's the one coming. Yeah, look at 10. Look at her. She's the one coming. Vera. Your Savior has come. Number five, we are not saved by our good works, but by our faith in Christ. Faith, believing. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confessing him that God raised him from the dead. See, that confession will let you also be confident that God can raise you from the deadness of your life. Confess it. Do you know Vera? Do you know the work you have to do with her? You know the work? Like what? You know Sam? Okay. You are welcome. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe, Romans 10:9, that Jesus is the Lord. And believe that God raised him from the dead. The person you believe in, you see, it's very easy to be helped by somebody who has done what you are asking him to do before. Okay? If I have painted this room before and you ask me to paint your room, it's easy. Because what? I have painted before. Experience. Christ has been raised from the dead before. So he can also raise you from fornication. He can also raise you from worldly music. He has power to raise you from bad friends. He has power to raise you out of a family of demonic powers and activities. Yes. Because he has been raised. That's why Jesus is our Savior. Because anything he must do in your life, he has done it before. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. So he can also raise you from any dead situation you are in. But you must believe that Jesus can do it. Believe it that Jesus can do it. Say, Jesus can do it. Say, he can bring me out. He can deliver me. He can help me to stop. Say, I'm coming out of sin. Say, I am born again. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm being freed. I'm being freed from sin and wickedness. I'm a child of God. I believe in Jesus. Number 7. Oh, number 6. God will definitely punish the sins of men with curses, sicknesses, and separation from God, both now and forever, in the lake of fire. And Revelations 21 verse 8 says, but the fearful, the unbelieving. Can you see the unbelieving there? Oh, sorry. You've not opened to it. Open to, turn to Revelations 21 verse 8. But the fearful, are you reading it? And unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, that's prostitutes, selling their body for rice, and iPad, and phone, and shoe, and sorcerers, and idolaters, idol worshippers. From today, when your family members are going to worship some river somewhere, don't follow them in that thing. Don't follow them. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Liars. 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 So God has reserved punishments. Don't think that when you live a life of sin, you are going to go free. It's not only in hell. Here on earth, he will punish you. Anything God says you must not do. So you come there. Your faith in God's word must let you fear the word of God. That God says it, I won't do, because you will face the consequences. Here on earth. Here on earth. And always when your punishment comes, you see that Satan has pulled himself away. He leaves you to suffer. He leaves you to suffer. Number 7. There are 2 reasons why God decided to save us. The first reason why God decided to save us is that he loves his creation very much. Tell your neighbor, God likes you. God loves you. Yes. See, I want every young man, young girl sitting here to know that God is very, very, very interested in you. That's why he has even given this lady pastor to take care of you. Who are your members here? Where is Nuti? Yes. I mean, you don't have any idea why God will bring a woman like this into your life. When you like somebody, you can't stand watching the person in pain. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ was sent not because God is tolerating us. It is love. And apart from Jesus, he sends other agents. He loves you. Why are you the only one here? Because he has chosen you. Yeah. Imagine there are four girls and a man comes, he wants to marry. Then he selects one. He selects one and leaves three. And the one he selects rather goes and she's bluffing. She won't bat. Look, it's not a small thing for someone to choose you. And that's why I really like the fact that it is the man who choose the woman. Because, you see, if women were very few, you would think that the man has no choice. I don't get the point I'm making. Like if all of us here are men and there are only two women here, there's no choice. That's it. But God made it say that there are more women than men. So that every woman who is chosen by a man will know that that man who came to you had other options, but bypassed them and selected your face. Yes. True. The same way God loved the whole world. How come the whole world is not here, but you are the only one here? He has a special interest in you. Don't throw his offer back into his face. Don't slap him with his gifts. If somebody buys you a phone, iPhone 15, and you get the box and you slap him with it. Do I look like iPhone? I'm a Mercedes Benz. My type is Benz, not iPhone. Really? And the second reason why God decided to save us, the first reason is that he loves us. Tell two people that God is interested in you. Say it, don't just say it, take your time and let it sink into the person. The second reason why God decided to save us is that we could not save ourselves through good deeds. You can't save yourself through your good deeds. Because you give gifts to people. You buy rice for prisoners every day. It means that God... We are not saved by works. It's a gift of God. And God saw that you could not save yourself. You are helpless in saving yourself. Don't try to save yourself. That is why your faith must be in Jesus. Your faith must be in God. Your faith must be in God. Your faith must be in Christ. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. 14:1. Put it up. 14:1. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. believe also in who? Me. And number 8, Jesus Christ had come to die on the cross for us, because the Bible teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Stand to your feet. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood. Let's all memorize this verse. Hebrews 9:22. Everyone look on the screen. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. One, go. Can I have the New American? Okay, give the New King James. Okay, let's go back to the King James. One, go. One, go. Again. Who can quote it? Okay, look at it, everybody, look at it. I'm going to take it off and call 5 of you to quote it. Are you ready? Okay, one more minute. Because there is a law that everything is washed away with blood. So if there is no shedding of blood, that's why Jesus Christ, your Savior, did not die of diabetes or a stroke. He died by the shedding of blood. Because there are many different ways to die. That is why he had to shed blood. Blood on his head, at the back, in his palms, at the side, and from his feet. Blood came because blood must be shed. Without that, your sins remain with you. Hebrews 9:22. One, go. Of the light. Yes, your name. Ophelia.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22.
So if someone asks you, why did Jesus die? Why didn't he? I mean, why? Why did he have to shed his blood? Then you quote this verse. One, go.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission.
You left some words and. Yes, your name, this is Ophelia.
Rosemond.
Oh, I keep forgetting Rosemond. Mm-hmm. One go.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law.
Purged
with his blood.
With blood.
Purged with blood. And without his shedding of blood, there is no remission.
I'll give it 4 over 10. Yes. Your name?
Benjamin.
Beautiful name. Yes. Okay. I'll give you some more time to learn it. Yes. No talking.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things by the law are purged with blood.
Beautiful.
And without shedded of blood is no remission. Amen.
You have added amen. Even the words in there, you have.
Hebrews 9.
Bring it to you.
Hebrews 9:19, verse 22.
Go to Collegono and collect kinky. That's Hebrews 19, verse 22. It says, go to Collegono and collect kinky. Hebrews 9.
Hebrews 9, verse 22.
Yes.
And all things. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Almost all things in the law are purged with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission.
5 over 10. Eric.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding blood, there's no remission.
Shedding of blood.
Without shedding of blood, there's no remission.
Beautiful. Beautiful boy. Yes. Your name?
Innocent.
Go on. One, go.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse
22. Listen to him.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost everything are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission.
5 over 10. Yes, your name?
Anita.
Anita, yes.
Hebrews 9, verse 22. And all things by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
4.5 over 10. Emanuela.
Hebrews 9, verse 22. And almost all things by the law are purged with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission.
So I've not got anybody who can quote it perfectly. Vera.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission.
No. There's a... Put it up. Is it without shedding of blood? Without shedding of blood. Oh, then clap your hands for her. I thought that was dead. Again.
Hebrews chapter. So,
if you can quote this with Sarkod here, can you imagine without Sarkod here? Quote it.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission.
That's a fact about your salvation. That no one can be saved without Jesus. Because he's the only one who shed his blood. He was sent by God for that. He came and by the shedding of his blood on the cross, he was the only begotten Son of God. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So your salvation is through Jesus. And you must believe that he came to die. Believe that he's the Son of God. Believe that his blood is what washes your sins. So let's go back to the prayer, the sinner's prayer. Don't clap for him. Let's read it. This is the prayer you pray. You see, based on the fact that you were shaped in sin, in iniquity. In sin did your mother conceive you. You are a sinner. That you have done bad things. How many of you have done bad things? It's not because you are a bad person or whatever. It's your nature. Yeah. The only power that can stop you from doing bad things is the power of the blood of Jesus. So because of your nature, your sinful nature, and the sins you've committed, because there are two different things. You commit sins, and your nature itself is a sinful nature. It's important that you are born again. So, God sent Jesus to die on the cross. His blood was used to wash your sins. Because Hebrews 9:22 says, almost all things are by law purged with blood. You purge things with blood. Without shedding of blood, the sins are not remitted. So we receive Jesus Christ as the one who came to die and shed his blood to save us. On the cross, he died for our sins. And we ask him to take control of our lives and be our Lord and our Savior. One, go. Is it a beautiful prayer? Now, I want you to read it again. Now, as a prayer, you are praying to God. Like you are saying something to God, but you are reading it. One go.
I
Clap your hands. So, Vera, do you think that you can take Sarkodie out of your life? You think so? And what else can you take out of your life?
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenna Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.